So I'm going to present the pre and post part of our study, and this has absolutely nothing to do with our presentation. I put it in because Bruce and Kay had pictures in theirs, and I felt left out, so I just threw it in for the heck of it. Okay, whoops. Okay, so the objectives of what I'm going to talk about are to look at our study, to evaluate the effectiveness of the school-based intervention, contact with a person who has a mental illness, and use of the supplemental materials that Kay showed some of them up here, and there are some back there. And on knowledge acquisition and social and attitudinal for sixth grade students, and then to evaluate the differential effects of those interventions. We do have, as Bruce said, this is going to be a longitudinal study, so we're hoping to be able to monitor and look at behaviors, but for right now we're looking at knowledge and attitudinal changes. Our study is grounded in four critical principles, and Bruce talked about some of this, delivered at a critical time in youth development. So our intervention is aimed at sixth grade students. We wanted the students to be young enough so that we can make an impact, but also old enough so that it would have some meaning to them, and then delivered in an environment that influences their development and socialization, because kids spend most of their time in school, 8 hours a day in school, it seemed like a logical place to have the intervention. Plus, they're interacting with other peers their own age. They're starting to be more influenced by people their own age. And then developed in the local context, acceptable to those who might implement it. So Kay talked about the ease of the curriculum. Teachers could just basically pick up that curriculum and teach it without having to sit through hours of training or other things. And everything you need, all the materials are part of that. Engaging to those who might receive it. So it includes lots of interactive activities and options for teachers to choose to do so that it keeps students engaged rather than a teacher just standing up here speaking to you like I'm doing. And then dissemination ready. So again, all the materials are there, the PowerPoint, the binder, the activities, and then a DVD disc that Kay made. I'm just giving a little bit of an overview on how to teach it. And then includes three plausible but not yet well-evaluated approaches to stigma reduction. So, as Bruce said, we're looking at the curriculum, contact with an individual who has a mental illness, and then supplemental materials. And our research questions are, can we improve attitudes and beliefs about mental illnesses? Can we improve knowledge about mental illnesses? And do any of the interventions differentially or in combination achieve these effects? So our study, it's a 2x2x2 pre-post factorial group design. We had 16 schools that we ranked based on their school tests, and we matched them, and then we randomly assigned them to an intervention condition, and I'll talk about that more in a second. And again, we have eight different conditions, and they arise from the three different interventions. So you can see here, some kids got all three of the materials, both the curriculum, the contact, and the materials. Some kids got two, some kids got one intervention, and then we had a group of kids who had none of the interventions. And again, we ranked them based on standardized tests. We put them into a cell, and then we randomly assigned an intervention to each one of those cells. To get started, we met with school administrators in a large school district that's a very multi-ethnic, diverse school district. We got their buy-in, then we met with the teachers, and then the teachers kind of helped us talk about what they felt would help recruit more students into the study. And then, so we went into the classrooms, introduced the study to the kids, provided packets for them to take home to their parents, and we provided an incentive of $10 for the youth and the caregiver to return the packet to us, and that was whether they agreed to participate in the study or not. And the reason we did that is we wanted to make sure that those materials were getting home to the parents so that they could make a decision as to whether to let their child participate or not. We put all our materials on laptop computers and took those into the schools before the interventions, and then so the students would sit down on and take the measurements, and then the interventions would occur over the next week, and then we would go back in within 2 to 3 weeks and complete the post-test. And all of our schools that were matched had the same timeline as far as when they received pre-test, when they received post-test. I won't go through this because Bruce already did. And again, as Bruce talked about, our measures included open-ended, the vignettes, the questions, and self-report measures. Kay alluded to a fidelity measure. We developed a fidelity measure so that we could see if teachers were adhering to the curriculum, if they were following the outline, introducing all the materials that were in the curriculum, and also even monitoring how the students were receiving it. And we had two independent evaluators, and then we were able to look at their agreement on that. So here's the findings. So I get to tell the best part. And I'm actually really excited about this. So this first scale was the familiarity with mental illness scale that Bruce talked about earlier. And in this, higher scores are better. So the higher the score, the better. And you can see with the curriculum versus control, meaning they got absolutely no intervention, was a significant improvement. And then curriculum contact versus control, there was also a significant improvement in their familiarity with mental illness from pre to post-test. On the knowledge and attitude scale, here, same thing, we wanted higher scores, meant that their knowledge and their attitudes were improving. And with the curriculum and contact intervention against the control, we had a significant difference. Contact versus control had a slight dip there, but it wasn't significant. How many times can I click? Apparently a lot. So this one, people with severe mental illnesses don't get better with treatment. This scale is on a Likert scale from 1 to 5, from strongly agree to strongly disagree. So in this one, higher scores are also higher levels of improvement. And you can see with both, curriculum contact and curriculum contact, you can see that we had improvement across all of those interventions, with curriculum alone having a pretty good improvement, and then curriculum contact combined together having even more of an effect, but both of those were significantly improved. So everything I've talked about to now, we've looked at scores wanting them to get higher. Everything I talk about from here on, we want the scores to go lower. So this one, giving medicine is a useful way to treat mental illness. Again, you can see we had significance with both the curriculum against control, the contact against control, and then we had even a larger effect when we had contact and curriculum together. On the social distance scale, Again, we wanted this to go lower, and the curriculum, we didn't have significance here, and we'll maybe talk about that in a minute. But we did have some change in the right directions with the curriculum, but not with contact. All right. Hello. I'm hitting the same thing. I don't know why it's not moving. How about that? Oh, that works better. Sorry. So then Bruce talked about the vignettes with two youth. One, Julia, was a vignette on somebody with bipolar disorder. And this one, this question asked, was Julia experiencing a mental illness? And again, we wanted the scores to go lower. This was on a Likert scale of 1 to 4, with 1 strong agree and 4 disagreeing. And you can see we had significance with control against the curriculum, contact as well, and then a stronger effect with both curriculum and contact. And then David, he was the vignette with an anxiety disorder. And you can see we had a significant effect both with curriculum contact and then curriculum contact together. So we seem to, we're getting positive effects in the right direction with curriculum. In some instances, we're getting it with contact, and then we do seem to have a little bit more significance with the curriculum contact. Okay, so I said these were all negative. This one actually needs to go positive, so it's good. Should they seek help? Curriculum contact, contact control, and curriculum contact, all of those were significant, again, with curriculum contact being at a higher significance. This was around Julia or David, the vignettes. Were they experiencing something that might be caused by genetics or something they have inherited? And you can see with the contact, we had a significant improvement, but not with the curriculum. But when we look at David, and so this is kind of interesting to me, with Julia, it wasn't significant, but with David, with anxiety disorder, there was significance across curriculum contact and then the combination of both. So, all right, so then will David's situation improve with treatment? And I find this very promising because we want people to seek treatment and understand that treatment's going to make a difference in people's mental health. And we had quite a significant difference, both with the curriculum and then with the curriculum contact. This is a social distance scale that was developed around the vignette around Julia. And as you can see, that we don't have significance. So in this instance, we did not change the social distance. So we see changes towards seeking treatment and understanding the basis of mental illness, but not necessarily with the distance that people would want to be. Same with David. And in this instance, the contact went the wrong direction. So I just find that interesting. So for no significant changes, we did not find significant changes again on any of the social distancing, whether it was our overall social distance scale, our scale with Julia, or our scale with David. But the positive news is that we did see some movement in the right directions with familiarity, with understanding that people can get better, with having a general knowledge and attitude around mental illness, understanding that medications are effective for treatment, Looking at both Julie and David experiencing a mental illness, I'm almost thinking I have a slide missing, if you're wondering why I'm like pausing. Julie and David's situation might be genetic or hereditary. And then David's situation could improve with treatment. That's what I'm missing. So David, they did say that David's situation could improve with treatment, but there was no significant change when looking at Julia. It moved in the right direction, but there wasn't a significant difference. So again, medications are effective. I think I've already gone through all that. So I am actually, I had another picture because I did. Because at the end it was like, okay, I'm seeing some movement to the positive, so this looks very positive. So I had to throw it in. It's coming out though. It's coming out. I put my financial disclosure at the end, so I'm going to now turn it over to Melissa DuPont-Reyes, who's going to talk about some differences with ethnicities.